thank you for whatever you've worked to cloud away, to take away competing spectacles so that we can even pay attention to what you've given us to see your power and your glory. Thank you for any time we're able to come here and not think about ourselves, not think just about who's speaking, but to actually think about the one we're speaking about. Father, would you change us, not so that we are better us, but so that you receive the glory that you deserve and what your blood purchased by having your created beings be in fellowship with you, a holy God, that we willingly say, where else would I go? You are the greatest. Your love, your justice, your plans, why would I ever question them? Because, not just because you are the strongest, but because you are the best. So Father, work, tune our hearts to sing your grace. Help us to not just be forced to praise, but show us something that is praiseworthy. And to you be the glory as we do the work of the kingdom today. Give us spiritual rest if our bodies are tired as we work for the kingdom. We come in Jesus' name. Okay, as I did the short long introduction, I'm going to come back to this. I'm going to start back right in our notes. Let's see, I want to go to, okay, if you were taking notes, if you could see the forest for the trees, if you remember these aren't just hour-long episodes that are all self-contained, I say that less when you're frustrated. There are options. You can have the notes at any time. You can say, I totally lost where you were. You can say, I totally remember every word you're saying, and I've been repeating them to one another, and I'll say, good, that's my goal. And I don't think we're quite there yet. So when I repeat, it's to try to give some perspective from where we've been going, right? That past 4 years, you can follow my notes all the way through. There was a change of where we were heading. I'm back in. Remember we were talking about somewhere, I gave you just my little story, right? Fine. Went right or wrong, that as you come in to be a pastor, I started realizing, wait, I did the same things that my dad did. Wait, my dad wasn't being unique. He was doing the same things that he was taught, that the people around him were doing. Okay? Some of that was the EV pre-church. It was interesting, while I was talking to Dr. Coleman, and I told him that, one of the things, when he was in fundamentalism, fundamentalism against evangelicalism, I was part of evangelicalism, all right? One of the things that encouraged me as I crossed the lines into fundamentalism was that his close friend was Doug somebody from the College Church of Wheaton, the Free Church, in Wheaton, Illinois, and even though he disagreed with him, he was realizing there was much in common. It's interesting now that his son, I think, is part of a Free Church plant down in Florida. Why do I say that? Not because mine is right or better than yours. I'm saying there's been a heritage from which Americans have sent theology, have sent missions. Ellie is a recipient of American missionaries. And you can talk to her, you start putting those pieces together from our side. We're always praying for missionaries to the Philippines. In fact, the prayer meeting I was at had a missionary, had a pastor, a Filipino pastor, that I want Ellie to listen to. And I want her to realize that our people have been evangelizing the Filipino people for years, every group. Okay? But here's the deal. As I come in, I'm starting to realize, wait, youth groups, I didn't create them. And all of a sudden you realize, wait, people are against them. Wait, people are for them. Wait, what's going on? So I realized I have to have a goal, all right? Remember I told you when I started the youth group, all they were caring about were safety rules, like why the kids jump on the back of your van when you were in the parking lot. So because they jumped on the van and I didn't get to stop them yet, all right? So, you know, those were the only things they were worried about. I said, did you care about what I'm teaching your kids? They're like, oh, you're doing fine. That disturbed me. You want your kids alive, but you're not very interested in what they're getting about God. So I can tell them anything I want, and you're going to be okay with that. So I need a goal. Then I realize I have all these workers with me. And they were, the people would be like, oh yeah, fine, we trust them, they're a good guy, they're a good girl. I thought, good guy, good girl, for what? For what? What are they going to mentor your kids with? Because I'll get, well, I hope you're not teaching anything that we're not teaching. Well, I thought, okay, fine, we don't want to go against the parents, but how do I bridge that with where God wants to take their kids, and how do I, well then, what do you do with the other leaders? Realizing they listened politely, they didn't disagree, but they didn't own the goals too. So teaching them the goals, right? Just to keep it simple, love souls, teach roles, make disciples. That evolved. And I told you those weren't words. I thought of that on every amusement park ride I went on. Why am I sitting next to this kid? Yep, don't want to call their parents and say they flew off the roller coaster. I definitely didn't want that. But I was thinking, why am I sitting with them on this roller coaster ride? Love souls, teach roles, make disciples. Right? Unpack that. Those are all zip files that you're endlessly thinking about. Okay? How do you get the other leaders to do that? Wait. How do you get the kids to do that with one another? That would be 2 Timothy 2:2. Things you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men, women who will be able to teach others also. It's a reproducing thing. Disciple making. Everybody's talking about Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And everybody, somehow that always had to do with getting over to Antarctica somewhere to get the penguins saved. And I was thinking, well, before we get the penguins saved, how do we deal with the people right around us? So I'm thinking that through the lens of the youth group, because that's mostly where I went, remember? Because when I talked to my dad, and he would tell me back then they don't listen to you, give it 40 fat and bald. And I heard that on Sugar Creek Gang, so that's how you know it's true. Okay, he said it in Sugar Creek Gang, and so they're both true. So I'm working through the lens of the youth group, but it doesn't end up there. I'm not the youth pastor. I don't believe in youth pastors. I believe in pastors who work with youth, not youth pastors. There is no youth group in the Bible. God's not looking for a youth group. He's saved and unsaved. What do saved people do? So you start dancing in there with the adults, since I'm not just with the youth, a small church, and you start realizing, wait, not only was it not working, I would get issues, no, very few issues. You listen to my dad's examples. This is hard when you do this, because now he'll be conscious of it when he's preaching. But you listen to him. Most of his examples come from his church in New Hampshire. You hear very little about New Jersey. Keith, when he repeats, this is number 3 story, he'll say, my friend John DeBlock, there's New Jersey. There's very few other positive examples you hear from. You hear a few negative counseling examples from New Jersey. But his mind says, as however, when we get older, however we retain things, I'm not hearing a whole lot on the shuffle positively. Now, that being said, now you're going to hear him look at me and say a positive. Okay, because he's going to think really hard. But you know what that means? I've told you in my story that New Hampshire was a steady church. It was a hard church, but there was less. There's a million things we could talk about that. About there weren't as many Christian bookstores, there weren't as many Christian radio stations, the internet hadn't come in. There was a lot of things that allowed the people to deal with the people that were in their church. There weren't many churches around. Solid churches, okay? There weren't many options. There was more respect. There's a whole lot of reasons. But why hard work heading towards God without a clarified vision, all right? I'm not going to go into what I mean by all that. We've said plenty. Allowed at the work of the Spirit to work in people in a way that produced solid church, okay? But that was falling apart. Way more than this. I told you I can speak confidently here because I got sins that I know, let alone the sins you think I have. I think I know some of my dad's sins, but I'm wrong. He knows some of his sins, but he's not always right. Meaning, I started realizing this isn't just our personalities. Our success or failure isn't based just on our personality because I'm starting to hear these stories replicated all over. This is what gave me hope. As through fundamentalist circles and evangelical circles, you started hearing the same things going on. Here was my problem. The youth were changing. What happens when their parents weren't on the same page? Then you think, well, how do you take on? Who do you take on? The mom? The dad? Fine. Everybody's saying we need men. It was at that point that that I said, okay, fine. I told you to watch the movie, Stay and Deliver. I'm not telling you. I have no idea what's in there. So you go watch that movie and tell me there were three bad words. I don't remember it. Okay? So I don't know. So don't go watch it for theology. It was just, it hit at the right time when I'm wrestling and thinking, you can't get there from here. There's no way. And it hit me to say, shoot for the moon, then be excited with anything. If you don't shoot for the moon, and you keep coming down here, then what we're doing is just changing the level of maturity, and nobody's getting where anybody wants. I told you, you've heard this 10 times. All right? Pastors that were all on the same, different page, finally getting together in Lancaster. I've longed for that for years. All right? Ever since my dad moved out of the area, he tried to be part of the ministerial. Ministerial is where local pastors would get together once a month, share what the Lord's doing in their life, encourage one another, compare notes. I grin because it easily becomes, I don't know, it's not me, it's the Lord, but the Lord's blessing us. And you go, shoot, the Lord's blessing everybody in the room except me. All right? But that's not the intent. But the problem was, those ministerials, dad's like, they're not wanting to meet. I went, they're all busy. Well, that's what I'm finding. They're busy for selfish reasons. They're busy because they're fighting for their lives. There's a reason why there's a shortage of pastors coming. I told you, we used to be 500 in the room when I was down there at school. There's like 50 or less. What's going on? The point isn't, are they good pastors? The point is, why isn't people saying, I want to shepherd the people of God? And then when they are, you're hearing sex mess, financial mess, fighting mess. You realize whatever sex mess is, sometimes that's not a sex problem. They gave up. And when they gave up, they got sloppy. How about David, right? Remember that line? How many times did you hear that line? When kings go to battle, he was on the roof. Not sure he had a sex problem so much as he was at the wrong place, wrong time, not doing what he needed to be doing, and then it is sex. But I'm touching it very carefully because we have strong opinions about all that. But I'm saying watch it. Back to the triangle. If you're not careful, you go, yep, it's because they watched a bad TV show and their dad did it. And immediately you're saying we're conditioned and that's the only reason sex stuff happens. No, there's deeper reasons. The same with financial messes. The same with making jokes about fat pastors. I've always said that. A Baptist pastor, and before you go on fat pastors, you realize they're sitting at the desk all day long. I think about this when a Mennonite buggy goes by me when I'm running, right? And I'm carrying verse cards. And I think I'm told, hey, I'm learning the Bible here. And they're thinking, get a job. Right? Most of the Mennonite pastors are out there working. They said, get a job and you wouldn't be out here running. Right? But that's what happened. The pastors are sitting at their desk counseling people, running their mouth, while they go to all the little old ladies who say, here's a cake I just made this morning. You get it? And that's what happens. And then you say, no, I shouldn't. And they go, here. And then you realize, I just walked into a trap. That pastor ate 2 pieces of my cake. You pushed it on them. Meaning there's a whole lot more going on here than fat pastors. Maybe, see, we all get something in our head. And you're right, should they lose weight? Right. But that's what I'm saying. So you try, you want to get the men? I'll disagree with my dad on how to get the men. I say that because he's fine. He and I are heading in the basic same direction. We're way different generations, way different personalities, and we're not arguing for the goal, we're arguing for the process of how to get to that goal. I don't think a class like this was enough to do it. I think it's a class to start. And that's what happened. We asked for a lot, just heading toward those goals. Would any of you disagree with purpose 1, 2, 3, or 4? Which one are you strongest with? You say, I have the heart of a disciple. Do you? What is a disciple? What does it mean to follow? I don't think we're as teachable as we think we are. I do. When I'll tell you teachable, you'll say puppet. I'll say, nope, let's define puppet very carefully. What does it mean for you to have a biblical understanding of God? And when I'll hold up a systematic theology or evangelical dictionary theology, and immediately you say, I don't need to read that in order to know God. But what about knowing everything that's in that book and being taken down paths that you haven't considered? Understanding the current Christian climate. What does that mean? The article, one of the articles I made the kids read, I gave them 12 articles, we probably read 6 of them. What? Yeah, 6 or 7 of them were great. One of those articles was saying the problem is not just learning things, it's learning the context in history, which is why I wanted to tell you a little bit about Isaac Watts. And I'm not trying to worship him. I'm trying to say that a lot of these people have tons of flaws. He would stop. He wasn't trying to muck break, but he's like, here's the rest of the story about this organist who composed this tune for this song. Here's the reason they switched tunes. And you realize politics, personalities, all wed in there. Don't go study the people that you emulate from church history, or you're going to find more than you're looking for. If your only answer is, and that's why I don't need them, because they're flawed characters, at that time, I'll throw you out, too. You're a flawed character. And it's not okay. God's name and others are suffering for your sin. And you go back at you, you're right. That's why we need a God who is greater than us, purer than us. But we need a context. Grow together, the men of Cornerstone Bible Church. Any of you women disagree with that? Any of you men think on the surface that's a bad idea? Now here's where I'll throw my jab. I think the men say, yep, I'll grow together with the men at Cornerstone, and then I'll go, yeah, all the men. And that's where it gets a little touchy. You're right, you can't. But my concern is, just like at a public high school, why those men? Why not those men? Same with the women, same with the men. Anyway, so you start doing this, just heading in the direction, not thinking it's going to fix it all, but then we come back to December. Remember our big date in this thing? Let me just find it here. Future Grace was December 2nd, 2012 to March 7th, 2021. So what was going on December 2nd, 2012? 6 years after a massive blow up in here, all right? Going through all the stuff of, you know, is it my fault? Is it his fault? Is it our denomination's fault? Is it our background's fault? Is it the Mennonites' fault? Why do I blame the Mennonites? Because we're in Mennonite Mecca here. And so you go, well, they just don't get it, all right? Or wait, we don't get it, all right? You go through all the things that are going on, and you think, wait, what? So what is the path forward so you don't have blow-ups? Is there any unity without having unity being something surface, like a football team, a personality type, all right, or a background? I told you I've been to so many nursing homes, watched them all sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and that's the only thing they have in common. Do they even have in common the Jesus that song's singing about? I'm thinking endlessly about that. So it was at that time we finished the book, needed another in Sunday school. Dad gave me the suggestion, okay, no problem. But when I heard that every chapter in here was the application points of another book, Battling Anxiety, Pride, Misplaced Shame, Impatience, Covetousness, Bitterness, Despondency, Lust, every one of those would interest somebody in the room. Every one of those. I heard that every chapter, word for word, was like the third chapter in this book. One, two, bang. One, two, bang. One, two, bang. I started thinking, was very concerned about issues-based without, one, expectations for change. Two, what happens if we focused on the issues, got the issue fixed, and you didn't end up with the right root and the right focus? Remember, 10 lepers were healed. One came back to say thank you. Were all the other 9 in hell? I don't know. We're not told that. That's not my point. We were told. One got sicker that day. The one did the right thing. The one was noticing something beyond his leprosy. Are we noticing something beside our shame? Shame's one we don't often admit too well. We will admit anxiety, depression. We will, covetousness. You admit your covetous? I don't know. But if you got that fixed, where would your focus be? I got very concerned about dealing with the surface parts. We don't think anxiety is the surface part, but I say it is. It's the part that comes with us. Our souls in heaven. There will be no anxious corner up in heaven. Like, well, don't worry about them. They're just a little worried. That won't happen in heaven. So even though you say, that's just my nature, it came from my grandma, it's the profane part of us. You know, profane doesn't mean dirty word. It means the earthly part of us, right? So even though you go, I can't. This is a generational curse in my family. I can't. Praise God, it's changed. Right? If you're not careful, you're more focused on the change than you are on the God that you supposedly praise. Then it will be like warts. How do you get rid of warts? If you're not careful, we have a million different little methods in here. Some of them include some of us picking at them endlessly, watching everything bleed, pulling it all out. Some of us are grosser than others. Some of us buy everything that it says as seen on TV. Who's that person in here? As seen on TV. And you paint that all over about fungus on your toenails. Right. Sorry, TMI. Don't tell us about all your experiences. But we all have different ways of saying, I want it gone. And if you don't get the root, it comes back. That's what I was worried about. We will still, what would the root be? If God is going to get the glory and we are focused on problems and problem solving, we are still the center helping ourselves and we think that we're following God, but we're still the center. Let me say it another way. As I was thinking about Sunday school, let alone church, let alone life, we need not just what interests us, we need what God says we should be interested in. We need not just what interests us, we need what God says is central. So there are plenty of verses about Christ being all. I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. And you go, yeah. But if you're not careful, Christ isn't the root of even the things we call Christian change. We're willing to skip God as long as we got the quick conclusions about God's way to handle worry, anger, depression. The study of God, theology proper, and the study of the gospel will often lead to fascinating or annoying debates, but they are irrelevant to life. When's the last time you found out which brand of rototiller to buy by reading your devotion? If you're not careful, there's more and more categories. You go, how do I make a cake? Well, the Bible's not talking about that. How do I celebrate Christmas? The Bible's not talking about that until you bump into somebody that goes, Christmas is a pagan holiday. Okay. Now somehow we go through the Bible and find out where we can somehow figure out about pagan holidays. Right? If you're not careful, there's this massive disconnect between the things we think are important in life and the God that we say we're following. We go, that's up to choice. That's godly. How did you determine that? What does it mean when it says these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me? What does that mean? Do you know that they've said that the second version of the emergent movement is the deconversion movement? The emergent movement was saying, I'm cutting through all the rules, all the structure. I just want something that's organic, that's alive, that's real. Stop telling me what's real. And they took a little bit from the Catholic Church, because that's the original church. Catholic means universal. And they threw out the bad parts. All of a sudden, Protestants are starting to do Stations of the Cross, which most Protestants didn't even realize existed. Now all of a sudden everybody's trying to do the creeds, and some didn't realize they exist. You go, no, me, I'm not doing the creeds, I'm not doing Stations of the Cross. Yeah, but that's the problem. We're all saying, I took this and this. Haven't you heard? You know, it's like, well, I don't just listen to one kind of music, I listen to all kinds. It's hard to put me in a box. That's what's heard today. My box is different than yours. Your box is different than mine. That's what Carl Truman is called, and plenty of others. I just use that name because you can follow it with him. Expressive individualism. But the emerging movement was going to take everything from every different trend and then blow off all the other trends, say, we have authentic Christianity. They're focusing on realness. Now the deconversion movement is saying, hey, I tried to have faith, I tried to follow God, I tried, but you know what? Maybe I created this whole thing myself. Maybe my dad did. Maybe my church did. They all mean well, they're all sweet, but there's nothing real. It's just they wanted it to be real. So, therefore, you do it if you want, but I need something real. And the realest thing right now is I don't believe in God. Sorry. I wanted it to be true too. So don't look at me like that, like you're all sad. I'm just real. So I'm very scared when we define real apart from God. In the beginning, God created. You know what that means? There isn't a long book. It's not like Star Wars movies where you get five prequels. Right? It's the word prequel. No, not a sequel. Right. It's not Star Wars where we go, and here's the backstory of where God came from. We don't have a backstory. You know why? Because we have no concept of the eternal. We are created. So anything, including your mind, cannot handle how God came into existence. Came into existence? Read the first chapter of The Holiness of God by R.C. Sproul. That's what grabbed him. He said, how do you create out of nothing? Because as soon as you say, oh, there was nothing, it was black, he goes, black is something. It was dark, dark is something. Before light, what was dark? Can you take every atom, everything out of the air? If you do, remember I told you I ate snow and then everybody says that's gross? Why is it gross? Because it's precipitation. You know science better than me. Connecting to dirt or connecting to other things. That's what your snow is, right? Your snow isn't these beautiful little white flakes. It's connect. He didn't connect anything to make light. How do you understand a God that can make something out of nothing when you can't even understand what nothing is? What's the purpose of that discussion? To say, who are you, O man, who talks back to God? I am. I am. Everything I create is not only good, but is. You don't determine real. I do. That's very important. That's part of this discussion. Remember, I was way too snotty in philosophy class. I told you. The first time, I didn't even know the difference between philosophy and psychology. I had to take one of those classes, and I said, I don't know, something that begins with a P, and I needed to graduate. And I took the class, and immediately it was my lowest grade ever. Remember, I felt the girl next to me. Girls and guys were there to talk to during the discussion, because otherwise class is boring. And all of a sudden the girl next to me betrayed me because she actually cared about what was being said. And she got a good grade, and I didn't. And why didn't I get a good grade? Because I couldn't even understand what they were talking about. I didn't care to know why something was real. I knew what was real. I'll tell you what, the rest of my life I've come to realize, wait a minute, what happens if we can't? We say we're logical beings, we say that we're making sense, and nobody can agree with one another. Who is the final word? And how are we going to determine God? I wasn't smart enough, I'm still not smart. I sat in those classes. I know white boys and Southern won't let visiting people sit in there. I needed connections, because every time I get a connection, they go around the rule. They ask the professor says, of course a visiting pastor can sit in. I get why they don't allow people to sit in. BJ does allow you to sit in. I just want to hear. I just want to learn. They're not all right. But every time I get there, I realize how much more I don't know. And I don't want to be smarter than you. I want to grow to understand the God who heavens can't contain. and how to use my limited time here on earth to represent him. How can he represent through us when we have such a shallow understanding of him, even the smartest person in the room? I don't want smartness. I want the glory to his name. Hence, keeping holiday, I can't shut up about that, because the visitor center, we thought that was holiday. And then you realize, no, there's a whole real holiday behind the visitor center. I want you to see glimpses of not smartness, but of something that's more, a quest for more. Jody and I talk endlessly about what should the girls do. You might end up doing some of the books the youth have done. I don't care. There's millions of things that go into not everything we could read, but how do we get on the same page together? So anyway, we did the book, all right? We did the book. It was heavy weighting. I didn't expect the debtor's ethic and other issues that came with it. The problem was I didn't quite understand the reasoning I was teaching. I had to wrestle with it. I had to immerse myself in it. But then what happens when I was almost getting an understanding for myself and I teach you and you're not getting it? In fact, you're so not getting it that you're done with it. You don't want to keep going. And so I have to wrestle. Well, what do? I'm still getting my head around it. I'm asking you to join me in this, but you're not. And then we get caught in the, I have a different learning style. I have a different background. I have a different understanding. You won't let me disagree with you. And at this point, in 2016, I was all ears. And you can find this sermon online. I'll look it up for you if you want. But Mark Dever's T4G sermon in 2016 was another big moment for me. He gave an illustration of a sports drink. Somebody created a sports drink, and everybody loved it. All his friends loved it, and they said, you should market this sports drink. He marketed it, and it was up on all the billboards, all the grocery stores, like Pepsi or Coke. Everybody likes it. I don't know if it was real or not, whatever. Let me make the point. And then what happened is all of a sudden the sales tanked on his sports drink. The guy goes into a store, walks into some grocery store, takes his drink off the shelf, rips the top off, takes a drink, and he goes, this ain't my drink. What happened? And when you get all the way down to the bottom, he finds out the process that you used to make that drink, we were not able to mass produce. So we have to alter it in order to mass produce. What year was that that they messed with Coca-Cola? Do you all remember that? Coke Classic? Remember that? They had to do Coke Classic because they messed with it. And everybody goes, I don't care if it's better. This ain't Coke. So you call it whatever you want. Don't call it Coke. Give me back Coke. Mark Dever said, what does that man do now? He takes his drink. It has the same label. It went out labeled like this. And now it's something different. He said, what do you do? Sorry, guys. They messed with it. This is the drink that you thought you were buying the first time. What happened? He said people are very cynical, slow, thinking, you got me once, I spent money, I trusted you, and now why should I drink it again? Very little of that gets said, but you can see it in the marketing. They're not buying it again. Mark Dever said, what happens when you take, this is what you've heard me say, this is whatever, call number 7, I don't know, 6, 5, something like that. But where I've told you, where I've told you what happens when you take grace, love, forgiveness, the cross, trust, throw it in a blender, and call it Christianity. And we go, well, that's what I'm saying. And it's like, no. We all focus on a different syllable. Grace means something different. Forgiveness means something. Well, you can forget what you can't forget. You know, well, you still got to make somebody pay. Well, that's not right. I'm not being judgmental. You are. You see, all the things that Christians argue about, I thought we had the same gospel. Mark Dever said, If you think you're going slow, you need to go slower. Because they're all disenchanted because they think they've tasted the drink. They think they have Jesus. But all the Jesuses are different. Do you have any experiences outside of Cornerstone to validate what I just said? Any of your brothers or sisters, mother or father, friends, that you say, I love them dearly, but we have a different understanding of forgiveness, of grace, of growth, of what reverence toward God looks like, of what forgiveness, any word you want to call Christian, can you think of anybody outside of this room that you're thinking, sure, I'm not the judge, I'm not trying to keep them out of heaven, I don't know, I think that one doesn't quite get it, I think they're not, I'm not God, I pray they're saved, but then others you just go, why? The only way you can have unity with them is to not talk about those issues. Who's saved? Well, that's up to God. At some point, haven't you realized, you know what, it's kind of scary when all the Christians can't even talk to one another about all the Christian things. That's what we're talking about. So Mark Dever is saying, if you think you're going slow, go slower. But as I worked with Future Grace, remember somebody that didn't make it at this church, it was very intelligent, that said, they looked at me before they got upset, you know, way before that happened, and they go, I don't know how you're going to handle this. They went and read it. They were whipped with reading. They read through it, and they go, when you get to chapter 26, 28, it ain't good. I don't know how you're going to do that, because they're not going to get it. I'm like, thanks a lot. Help me out. Well, that one didn't make it. But they were right. I told you, I wish I could read all the books that I recommend to you. I'm begging you to read them, because I wish I could. There's too many issues to deal with. So, as I worked through it alone, then with you, then as we got through it, we realized more and more people are getting this, yeah, all right, whatever, John. Yeah, whatever. Maybe I agree with you, but you know what? It's not worth buying the Coke anymore. I'm going to drink this on the side. Okay, but after a while, we're so focused on what you're getting on the side, you're not even hearing anymore what's being talked about. I started to recognize that slow was the problem. It wasn't not understanding. It wasn't disagreeing. It was slow. People didn't want to learn something different. They had already made up their mind, and I got discouraged when it seemed that few were reading. Here's my jab. I closed my eyes. I'm very encouraged with what's going on at Women's Fellowship. You know what? They're not hitting cameras. I don't see it. In other churches, sometimes the pastor leads the Women's Fellowship. Don't worry, I'm not. The women are all safe. I love what I'm hearing that's coming out from the overflow of Women's Fellowship. Close my eyes, say something judgmental. I'll swear I never said it afterwards, but you'll remember it. Jody's concerned about, I think some ladies aren't even looking at the book anymore. How do I get them to glance at it when we spend 2 or 3 months in a check? I know they're busy. I know they're barely there. I'm saying I think the Women's Fellowship is growing faster and deeper than the men's. On the other side, I don't expect any of the men to read, and I'm finally finding a few of the men reading. How do we get to the point where we're at least trying to engage with the things? So I'm going through the book. Recognize slow is a problem. People, fewer reading. The weight becomes then on the teacher to make it come alive without anybody putting the work in. They go, well, I sat there. I listened to you for years. What does listen mean? Because I ain't calling that listen. See, that's where it gets personal. That's where we start asking, are we teachable? Yeah, but I don't have to learn your way. Nope, you don't. How are you learning? I have to learn. If you're not careful, we're all so narrow. You know that Herb Freeman he keeps mentioning? Here's also what I envision. He goes, he didn't have any great education. He's not picking on people that didn't have formal education. He's saying people today, if people with a doctorate come in here and go, well, I don't like that learning style. I don't want to listen. I listened to a Tony Evans sermon years ago. He said, have you heard this one before? Not the duct tape. Put it out. This is the one he said, when we were young, we were poor. When we were young, you didn't ask what was for dinner. You ate it. And then in the way only Tony Evans knows how to do, he gets black on you and starts going, we didn't care what plate it was on. We didn't care if you had a fork or a knife. We didn't care if it was hot or cold. We didn't care if it was a lid or a lot. You ate it. He's black. He'll go back through that point about five more times. Do you get my point? Are you hungry? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Something far bit higher than what I call righteousness or that you call righteousness. You know where the core of righteousness is? God Himself. Do you want God Himself? Yeah, I do, but I'm smarter than you and you're wrong. Stop. You realize if we're all not holy and you hit the target 7 out of 10 times, and some dummy hits it 2 out of 10, that there's a possibility that one of those two is one of the ones you're missing? Are you discerning enough to even see so that you could go, 7 of those things that were wrong, bless their soul. But that one point showed me the character of God. I need that. That's what we're looking for. So as these issues came up, I had options. I either summarized and moved on, believe it or not. No matter how slow I go, I finally realized they're not getting it, but we spend 5 weeks, we need to go. I either summarized and move on, back to what Megan said in another church, and I get that. I was on board with, we read a book, chapter 1's this week, chapter 2's the next week, chapter 3's the next week. But I've started thinking, well, what happens when nobody's even reading? Nobody understood what they're reading. Nobody wants to read. All right, you start realizing there's a whole pile of things missing that were normal when you went back and did chapter 1 this week, chapter 2 the next week, that helped people to grow. What happens if they are, remember the verse that says, always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth? So I had options. What happens when that happens? There's always, I was talking to one of you, and you said in every church there's always that one. That one that prays, that one that gets it, that one. That's what will happen. You end up focusing on that one that wants it. But now what do? It created questions. What is the place of Sunday school? Who said we need to finish a chapter in a week or two or three? What happens if only 2 people get what is going on in the church? And I slowly started realizing that no matter how many long-range plans, there are too many other variables without a structure to hold it together. You have to have a structure. The goals are not likely to ever happen, even if you do have God's goals. There's too much against it. I can hear someone I trusted in 2006 who had been so excited about the change in the youth. I brought that to his attention as this one disappeared. And he walked away and he looked over his shoulder and he said, where are those youth now? And I thought, how in the world can these youth get it when the parents are constantly blowing up? I recognize as never before that it would be a massive hurdle to get the youth past adults. And all this led to, if we as a church can't work to get at least a little bit out of the theological and practical issues discussed in Future Grace. Let me say that again. If we as a church can't work to get at least a little out of the theological, meaning God parts, and practical issues discussed in Future Grace, then we will never have a healthy foundation, ever. I could study any one of the books that you've heard mentioned here 10 times and get something out of them. Let me say this. I've listened to more sermons from that guy than any of you. I didn't leave. You know some of the places I'll disagree with him. I say that with prayerful honor. You know what my goal has been? I never wanted to be like Absalom. Absalom stole the hearts of the people away from his father. I wanted to be able to prove that I honored my father. You say, that's not honoring. Yeah, he'll say that. I'll say that. But that's my goal, that honored, but that we could disagree and work together. I still get stuff out of his sermons. If you don't get stuff out, and I preach way differently than he did. Some of you go, praise the Lord, he's preaching, not you. I get it. We're all at different places. Some of you will say, I don't get anything out of either one of you. That's my problem. There's stuff in there, if you're hungry. There's stuff in his, there's stuff in mine, there's stuff in a whole lot of people that we're missing. So, well, here. First person to talk gets to talk. Go. I need 10 minutes. I don't have them. Talk. Your thoughts. Good, you get 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Say it.
I go back again because my world is perfect. But one of the biggest challenges I face is connecting it to my daily devotional life and living it.
Right.
I would often get it with my head, but working it into my heart that it lives, and I'm able to duplicate or replicate that and share it and explain it was one of the large hurdles that I had. I don't think I've learned how to do that well. So that would be there. With putting a word with her, how can we process in a way that really helps us?
All right. And here's my big line. That if I have you mad at me, I'm going to make you madder. What I'm taking on is I think everybody who thinks they're mature in here isn't as mature as they think. Because my point, and that doesn't mean I'm totally mature. I'm questioning the basis on which we are defining maturity. If we were godly, we could take every bit of what I'm saying in small doses and make connections to life. The failure of that has made a separation where only the smarties or those who like it study God. The rest get as much God as they need, all brought down to their little language. Follow, we went to the Life Application Bible. Does anybody have one? Don't raise your hand. Then we get to the one-minute Bible. Why do you think we have to have the one-minute Bible? Because everybody's feeling guilty that I should read. Did you read your Bible today? Did you read your Bible today? And they're like, I can't. Yeah. And then finally, you're like, don't ask me that question. Finally, you go, you give me a Bible. You go, I can understand it. It makes sense. It's relevant. Okay? And it got shorter and shorter, smaller and smaller. You want to follow this to social media? The danger isn't that we're all stupid. The thing is that we're hearing a little bit about everything in small sound bites that we think we know something, but we haven't even begun. We can't even read a book on it, but you just heard a little clip. Remember what I told you, the little yellow books in public school that I didn't know existed? Does anybody know about those little yellow books with lip notes? I didn't even know what that meant. I thought you had to read a book in high school. But all my classmates knew the little yellow book existed. You didn't have to read the book. You could just get the summary and still get a better grade. What happens? That's the problem. I told you, if we were healthy, not only as a church, but as an American church, we would never do what I've done here the last 12 years. It's a last-ditch attempt to say, if we don't get to the root of this problem, all we're doing is not only changing the gospel. By the time you're arguing about homosexuality, it's way too late. By the time you're saying, I don't believe in hell, we lost the whole foundation for the discussion. This is a plea to say, back to that Herb Freeman guy, he didn't say he's not picking on non-educated. That man was the busiest, most content man in the church, and he didn't understand half the things we're talking about. Could you be the busiest member and content and not understand what we're talking about? While you're growing, that's the goal. The goal is not to do, this is taking the engine room, throwing it on the floor, and I know everything you're going to say about I can't get there. If you come to me with just one point, I'll take that one point and bring it down so you go, oh, that makes sense. Some of the bombs I drop in here, and believe me, if bombs help sometimes, they hurt sometimes. And it is out of desperation and maybe sin when I dropped the always and never. I'm trying to say, you didn't understand any of this? Well, let me say this. Oh, you would care about that? Well, I'm telling you that is tied to all the part you didn't understand. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. I'm happy. When we finally get to the end of this, I'm just at the point, I'm going to have you talk here for 10 minutes. Then I'm going to summarize the points I've made. And you go, you'll summarize forever. Remember, what's the goal? I have a goal of what Stan said. I want you to get something, enough to say, I'll try to listen. I think this problem is bigger than I thought. In the meantime, I'm going to just keep living from where I'm at. And I'll say, do that. God bless you. Lord Jesus, would you have help us? I look at the pain in my mentor's eyes. As I said, what can I pray for you? And he said, the hardest thing in the world is that I have to retire before I was ready. And he's way smarter than me. And I just thought, what can I tell him that would encourage him? He has plenty of others that are mad for him, sad for him. But he needed to be encouraged in the Lord. God, would you help us wherever we are in this discussion? Would you give us the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ that would help us to continue in these discussions so that we will learn about you way before we understand where it applies? And then would you teach us how to bring it into our everyday life? And we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen.